Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. The show notes are included in the summary for each episode. Notes can be accessed from the Mobile Marketing Podcast link at the top and bottom of the dominoresearch.com website. If you like the podcast, please take a moment to help us out. Rate and review us on your preferred medium. We are currently available on iTunes, Google Play Podcast, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Thank you. Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Hi there, I'm Kim Stewart, and today we are bringing you another in our series of Best Of episodes. This week we're focused on podcast promotion, podcast marketing, and the best of our advice on how to grow your podcast for whatever purpose you are producing your show. We know that not everyone has the same intention with their podcast, but at the end of the day, we all have similar needs, which is primarily an audience. Some podcasts are built as standalone entertainment or media products, and some, like ours, are designed to help our clients and potential clients understand how to use our products to their best advantage. Before we dive into the episodes that have been chosen for this week's Best Of series, I just want to take a second and mention that we are available if you are looking for help. In addition to our mobile marketing and advertising platform, we also do consulting across a variety of challenges that most business owners will face at some point. So if you'd like to get in touch with us to schedule something, then you can find contact forms on dominoresearch.com, mobilewalletmarketer.com, or cannabiswallet.net that will put you into our inboxes straight away. And I'll just tell you that we are normally less than 24 hours from a response to your inquiries. And now, the show must go on, as they say. Today's topic in the Best Of series is podcast promotion. We've pulled out clips from three of our more popular podcast promotion episodes. This first one is going to be from episode number 27. That one was titled, How Much Does It Cost to Successfully Market Your Podcast? So this is an episode that is near and dear to both Hazel and myself, since we did a lot of research going into this episode, trying to sort of ascertain what real numbers across a range of podcast types would be, and how those numbers might substantially increase reach, help boost subscribes and downloads, and where the line was that throwing more money at the issue started to result in diminishing returns. We also point out a few differences between the average podcast and one produced by someone like a PRI or an NPR type of media house. And we also take a little bit of an in-depth look at why you need to spend money to get listeners for your show in the current landscape. So let's get to it.
So let's take a few minutes and talk about the different ways that people actually market their podcasts.
Well, yeah, there are different ways. The basics, you can use search, Google, Bing, whatever you want to use, to find the podcast. There's social media out there. If you don't have a profile page for your podcast, you should get one done immediately. And there's referrals, of course, word of mouth. That's always a great way to get listenership up with your podcast.
Absolutely. And that's one of the brilliant things, not to toot our own horn, but to toot our own horn, that our podcast marketer product allows you the simplest, easiest ways for people to share your content on any medium that you are delivering it. So if you have a Stitcher link or a TuneIn link or an iTunes link, and you have all of those in one place on the back of your podcast marketer pass, when somebody shares your pass with their friend, their coworker, their relative, their neighbor, whoever, they automatically get links to all of your distribution mechanisms because they're already self-contained on the back of the pass. So going from there to the actual nuts and bolts of how much can, should, do people spend marketing their podcasts?
Right. I mean, we get that question all the time. How long do you spend marketing your podcast per week? Well, we do a lot of different types of marketing out there. Podcast is just one of them. And I really couldn't say, could you, Kim?
We do a lot of outreach for our podcast, and we have it plastered all over everything we have. It's all over our webpage. We actually include on not just our podcasting site, but we also include it on our platform sites. We include it on a lot of our landing pages. We have direct links to download the mobile ads and add them into your phone directly from all these different places. Mm-hmm. And while they don't all necessarily generate a million ads to the phone in and of themselves, if we get 15 or 20 a day from this page and 25 or 30 a day from that page and some referrals and some additions from our social media pages or from some of our existing search ads, it starts to add up. And really, unless you're going to spend big business sorts of money, I mean, if you want to become the number one podcast in the business category on iTunes, you're going to have to spend heavily on Facebook, AdWords, emailing everybody you know on your list. You're going to beat the bushes with all of your prospects, your customers, your fans. Just to kick that off, you're looking at a week of super, super intense work just to get this started. And that's before you even try to stay on top. You know, once you're on top, you're going to keep on spending, because in a category like business, you're going to be up against the heavyweights from the NPR networks or a Dave Ramsey or Jim Cramer, you know, people who have existing on-air radio shows who also do copies of radio shows onto their podcast networks. So that brings us up to the realistic goal for your podcast.
That's right. I mean, that's the first thing you really need to figure out. If you want to break the top 25 in your category and stay there, which is probably a decent goal for almost anyone, then you really need to lay out the strategy for buying traffic and decide what kind of budget you're going to allocate.
Absolutely. Let's use the New York Times as an example.
Okay.
The New York Times launched a popular podcast in, I think it was January of this year, and it's called Modern Love.
Yes.
It is a conversion of a written product that they have on their website and have had for quite some time, and they've converted it into the audio format with the podcast. They do a ton of marketing for it. They're using Mobile Wallet Passes, which is just like our podcast marketer product, to manage their mobile updates for new episodes. They're on iTunes, they're on Stitcher, they have some very famous top talent narrating episodes each week. And, you know, we like them, so we see what they're doing in their Facebook feeds. For instance, they had carousel ads running in the news feed a couple of weeks ago. They have single episode ads. I'm going to guess that they're spending well north of $1,000 a week just on Facebook advertising. And that's just for society and culture. They're not even trying to crack, like, business or sports. Their topic isn't super specific. So from that perspective, you know, they're probably spending, I'm going to say, six figures a year on marketing.
Yes. So now, do you have that budget? You need to ask yourself that. So how realistic is and popular is your podcast going to be?
Okay. Our second clip for today's Best Of Podcast Promotion Series is not about podcast promoting per se, but it is about how to read your podcast stats, since you really must be able to understand your numbers in order to efficiently promote your show. So if you're producing a show that is advertiser supported, you're going to be looking at the numbers with a different slant than if you are creating a product that supports your business marketing, or one that is like a subscription-based Patreon or, you know, similar type of funding. So it's critical that you understand how to read the stats and really know which ones are important and which ones are just kind of filler crap and what to do with those numbers once you have it figured out. So let's dive right back in.
You said a dirty word. You said subscribers when you were talking about podcasts.
I did say it. I did say a dirty word, but I also said a great word. Listeners.
You did. Listeners is it. And you know, that's the other thing. If you have Your website, your apps, your social media links, all of that stuff can be accessed directly from the back of the pass in one tap. And whether you use your podcast as a product or whether you use your podcast to market your product, it's kind of one and the same when we start talking about stats. Now, stats are really kind of tough to sort out. There's not a truly specific way to measure them, and each platform has the tendency to offer a different set of stats if they offer you stats at all. Now, iTunes, which is the big one, doesn't even do stats per se for single episode podcast producers. They do them for some of the podcast networks, but even then they're kind of sketchy. So you really are in the dark when it comes to your stats if you rely on iTunes. Now, if you are using a podcast plugin with, say, a WordPress install to do your podcasting and to host your podcasting, a lot of them, like we use Seriously Simple Podcasting, love it. It's got decent stats. They're not too basic, but they don't offer quite as much flexibility as what we would like. We're also working on a Google Tag Manager implementation, and once we have that done and sorted out, we will do an entire podcast about that, and we'll do some really good blog write-ups to go with it. So you could use something like PodTrack. You could go with some of the other podcast broadcasting networks like CBS or Forbes or Spreaker or anybody that does hosting of their own. But most of them still don't give you enough specifics. So how do you know what stats matter and which ones don't?
Well, we published an article, was it back in May, on
dominoresearch.com,
thank you, about podcast stats and how do you know what's important and what's not, and which might give you some more specific insights and what you should check out.
That one's got real examples. It's got, you know, specific examples of who did this and how they did it. So yeah, it's on the dominoresearch.com blog. If you simply do a quick search for podcast stats, that article and a couple of others that we've published pertaining to podcast stats are all on there. The other thing you might want to do is take a listen to episode number 10 in the podcast archives if you haven't already heard it. Marketing podcasts with mobile wallets. And, you know, after you're done listening to this episode, if you like it, this is a really good time to go back and grab that episode and do a quick listen. We took a lot of time talking about the ways to leverage mobile specifically so that you could up your listener base, reduce your turn rate, get your ROI up to par. So there's a lot of super good ideas in episode 10.
Right. And going back to stats for your podcast, I mean, there are a couple of different ways to measure your stats. You can use a third-party service, like you mentioned, PodTrack, which requires you to do some changes with your link structure on your site, but and your host, but we'll get into that another time. It's not impossible, but perhaps it's difficult in some cases to use that. And depending on what type of software you're using to serve your podcast out to the world.
It is, because some people have, you know, like we use Seriously Simple Podcasting, and there is an add-on for the plugin that enables PodTrack. If you have a plugin that you use to host with that isn't already compatible with an add-on, then you have to get your programmer, or you, if you're smarter than me, to go in and actually make all the changes and get that sort of stuff to work. You could also push your podcast through Feedly or SoundCloud, and you could get stats that way. But you want to keep in mind that Feedly is a product that was designed for RSS blog feeds, not audio feeds per se. So their model is built on subscribers, because if you have a blog, your big metric is one of two things. It's subscribers or unique page views to each individual blog article. And since an audio component isn't a page loading and someone actually listening to it, Feedly doesn't really have a method of measuring how many people listened because they were on the page they subscribed to using Feedly. I mean, I suppose it's better than nothing, but it's not much better than nothing. Just keep that in mind. SoundCloud, we talked about them. And once you hit a certain number of recorded minutes, they don't have a free base plan anymore. You have to pay them for each additional minute after that on one of their plans. And so if you're trying to stay within a shoestring budget, in order to use SoundCloud, you're going to have to dump an episode in order to upload another episode. And we've talked about this in some blog articles. We've talked about this in at least a couple of old episodes. It escapes me which numbers they are. But using your existing episodes to remarket those episodes, to leverage those, you know, it's like we just mentioned that you could go back to episode 10, which is the marketing podcast with mobile wallets. If we were on SoundCloud and we weren't paying to be on SoundCloud, and frankly, we don't pay to be on SoundCloud because we pay for our own hosting and we have a really quick host. We're not on shared hosting, we're on our own servers. So we'll spend the money to make sure that you get a good experience. And we'd rather spend the money to have you be on our website getting that good experience than being on SoundCloud to get that good experience. Hosting is cheap. Don't let people like SoundCloud fool you into thinking you can't do this yourself.
All right. Our last clip for today comes from episode 88, Podcast Marketing for Beginners. We saved this one for last since it's still very relevant. And I have to say, it's still completely amazing to me how many new podcasts are started every month. Like, who in the world listens to all these recordings? Many of the newer producers are struggling to find their footing. I mean, it's hard out there, especially with the new podcast. And having a clear picture of what you should be doing and what you should be avoiding in order to grow your listener base is always a refresher course that we can all stand to take every once in a while. So let's jump right back into the conversation.
All right, so let's move on to a couple of simple statistics. One, there are a ton of podcasts. We're pulling recent data from Podcast Insights. That's podcastinsights.com. Don't worry if you didn't catch the URL. I'll just say it again here. Podcastinsights.com, and the specific page is /podcast-statistics. So anyway, in that URL, in the show notes, on the episode page, it's on dominoresearch.com. Just tap the top tab, Mobile Marketing Podcasts, and you can find the episode very easily. So as of January 2019, the most accurate guess is 630,000. Yes, you heard that right, 630,000. Probably around 500,000 of those are what we call active, meaning they've been updated in at least once in the past 6 months.
Yep, a lot of podcasts. And, you know, that's actually only on iTunes. We're not even looking at Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Google, Libsyn, the rest of them.
Right.
Most podcasts are duplicated outside of iTunes, but, you know, there are some that don't distribute through Apple and only use alternative channels. And before I turn this back over to you, because I know you have something to say.
Sure.
It's a whole lot different now than it was 3 years ago. 3 years ago, you had to be on Apple. You had to be on iTunes.
You had to, yeah.
I think maybe that's not so much the case anymore, but we're going to leave that for a whole other episode. So go on, get us back on track.
Yeah, no problem. So that brings us to point number one. You cannot rely on iTunes alone to distribute your episodes. Unless you are a part of PRI or NPR or WBUR, etc., you will not be able to gain enough listeners to make it worth your time. If you are trying to generate ad revenue or monetize your shows, unless you have a big ad budget or you are duplicating something like a live radio show, even with a live radio show, these folks are pushing episodes on their radio station apps, like iHeart radio spots and so on.
So let's make sure that we are clear on this point.
Sure.
You must have multiple distribution channels across as many media outlets as you can, even if you only have a handful of listeners reporting in from all the auxiliary outlets.
Right.
Which is likely the reverse of what you think will happen. You know, you'll actually truly have less iTunes participation and more listeners from alternative channels without a big marketing budget.
Right, but that brings us to fact two. Number two, comedy is the most popular podcast genre, followed by education and then news. Unless you are super funny.
Like you? Or me?
Yeah. Like us. And come across that way on recordings, then don't go there. Maybe you are the next Mrs. Maisel, but it's probably not going to happen if you were that funny already. You'd be on someone else's podcast and have a show on HBO like Two Dope Queens. Which I love, by the way.
Charles, have you seen the HBO, the new ones? They are out now. So, anyway, I know, it's so crazy. You got to be funny, much funnier than we are. So, the education or the news component is most likely your best bet for how to pitch your podcast to prospective listeners. If you know how to do something that no one else knows how to do, or you could explain things in a way that people understand without the need of a video to get it, then the education genre is a really good bet for you. Take this podcast, for instance. We are all about educating you on how to market your podcast or how to market anything else using mobile at the end of the day.
Yeah, news is a tough topic unless you've got real insights or scoops or specific spin on a niche topic that attracts steady listeners. And you had better be able to talk about that news in a way that doesn't need visual aids, or else you're going to be better off doing a straight up YouTube channel and using the audio as a teaser to get people to your YouTube channel to watch the videos.
Right, so point number two is simple. Know what your show is going to be about and make sure you can execute the plan without visual aids. It's super hard to get people to listen to your podcast and then go to your website to check out your website or go to your YouTube channel and check out a video or some combination. I mean, if the words don't make sense without the visuals, you're screwed.
Right. Which brings us to fact
number three.
Podcast listeners are also very much into social media, smart homes, and all kinds of technology.
True that.
They're well-educated lot by nature, and they have a higher incomes than the average household.
We love that.
Yeah. They're also likely to be cord cutters and listen to multiple shows regularly.
Great. So that brings us up to point number three.
Yes.
If you want to get more listeners, you need to talk to them and engage with them where they are. Podcasting is, by nature, a very compatible product with mobile. Even though the statistics show that people are starting to listen to podcasts more on a home computer than they did a couple of years ago. Crazy, to tell you the truth. But if I was guessing, I would say it's because they're spending more time watching streaming and videos on those same computers as opposed to smart TVs. Data theft and all that good stuff being a factor. It's just so much easier on the eyes to watch on your computer than it is to try to watch Game of Thrones on an iPhone. Let's be real.
Right, right. And that doesn't change.
Oh, wait, you're Canadian. How long does it take you to actually see Game of Thrones?
At the same time you do, you get HBO Canada.
Really? Because I thought you were using my password.
So, that's the facts. We'll see ya. No. So, that doesn't change the fact that most and the best engagement comes through on mobile. So you can send out emails until you are blue in the face. And while that's good marketing channel, the amount of spam out there means that people still ignore it for the most part.
Right. So that's going to conclude our Best Of series episode about podcast promotions for this week. We are always delighted with comments or commentary, and I think you probably know by now that we have contact forms on dominoresearch.com, mobilewalletmarketer.com, or cannabiswallet.net, and those will put your voice into our ears pretty much immediately. I also want to say that we look forward to spending time with you again in 2 weeks when we release the next episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, and until then, here's bidding you a fond adieu and hoping that you have an absolutely brilliant week.